The Greenhouse Effect is a weekly podcast hosted by youth pastor Avery Bowman. This podcast is for teens and their parents. Our goal is to encourage, support, and strengthen the home. Contrary to popular belief, one can survive in this present culture while maintaining a personal relationship with Jesus. Join us each week as we learn from God's Word. Here is your host, Avery Bowman.
This episode might seem a little bit different to you, and that's because it is. This episode is basically a sermon from this past Sunday's service at High Street Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio, from our pastor, Pastor Charles Manus. He speaks on the sweet Holy Spirit. I trust it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you as much as it was to me. You hear a lot of sermons about the Holy Spirit and what it means and what He does and the active role that He plays in our life. But we do have a responsibility and obligation to do our part with the Holy Spirit also. So tune in and listen to Pastor Charles Manus preach the sermon, The Sweet Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Glad you're here today. Well, remain standing. Stretch a while. Everybody stretch a while. We're going to be here for about 2 or 3 hours. So stretch a bit. Get ready. Just teasing. Take your Bibles and go with me two places quickly. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll start off in John 1 real quick. But Ephesians 4 is the main text. If you find your place there, we're going to study that chapter out a little bit, Ephesians chapter 4 today. I've been in a series just literally about the Holy Spirit of God. And what an amazing subject. Wow, so much to talk about. So much confusion and misinformation about the Holy Spirit. I remember as a little boy, my dad taking me. My dad was a pastor. I'd go around to churches. We went to this Pentecostal church. Nothing against my Pentecostal friends. I love them. But we went to this Pentecostal church, and I mean, it was crazy. I mean, people were running around screaming. As a little boy, you have to understand that scared me. And people jumping around and high-fiving and knocking each other out. And the lady standing beside me was shaking so much and getting with as much, her wig literally fell off her head. I was a little boy, and I never forget, I'm sitting over there, and they were saying that, well, I said, Dad, what's going on? And they were saying that the Holy Ghost had come on people. And I remember thinking, well, I don't know what's going over there, but I sure hope it don't come over here on me. Is that what it means, the Holy Spirit? And God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him. God, the Holy Spirit, is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. He is a person, one of the Godhead of the Trinity. Amen. And so we're going to look at John chapter 1 real quickly and verse number 32. John 1 and verse number 32. And John bare record saying, I saw, now listen, he saw the Spirit descending. Well, the Spirit is a spirit. How do you see a spirit? Well, it took the form of something. Like from heaven, a what? A dove. And it abode on him. And I knew him not, talking about this Holy Spirit, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, if you would read it with me together as a church in unison, everybody together. Ephesians 4, 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm talking about the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit. Dear God in heaven, oh, we need you more than probably we've ever needed you. The day and age we live in, Father, the things going on in our world, in our life, Lord, we've come today to just put that aside and to focus on you. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. And Father, we just need to hear from you. And so, God, work in each heart and life. May we not be different. It's not just a religious exercise, but God, may you literally transform our lives. And we'll thank you for it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. That's always my favorite words when the preacher says, you may be seated. Amen. There's a A great quote, I like to quote men of the past, and one of the amazing preachers of the past, kind of the Billy Graham of the day, was a man by the name of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody would preach to huge crowds. God used a very simple man. He said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, "You might as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, breathe without lungs, as to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit." You might as well try to see with no eyes and hear with no ears and breathe without lungs than to try to live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. God, many places, very directly in the Word of God, tells us to be something. Many places He talks about that. In Genesis 1, He tells us to be fruitful and multiply. Me and my wife took that literally. Some of you need to get with the program. But God tells us in many places to be faithful. Revelation 2:10, to be faithful. He tells us to be firm. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God tells us in 1 Peter to be holy, to set aside your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks many places to be salt and light, to be strong and courageous. In Psalms, He says, be still and know that I am God. God gives us many things that He wants us to be in the Bible, and none are more urgent, none are more important than Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15, and be not drunk with wine. Hello, Napa Valley. And be not drunk with wine, where does it excess, but be filled. One of the greatest B's in the Bible that God has commanded us, we preached on this a few weeks ago, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled. Filled. Number one, I hope you take my notes. Number one, listen, the secret, young people, to the Christian life. The secret is to be saturated, to be overflowed, to be filled, to be overwhelmed, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't let those terms scare you. Don't let the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we talk about those. Don't turn me off today. Listen to me. The secret to living this life, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and other politically incorrect terms, the secret to navigate the current culture that we live in with young people is the power of the Holy Spirit. The secret to be the dad that God wants us to be the mom, the wife, the boss, the employee, the teacher, the coach, the student, the pastor, the Christian. The secret is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. It says in Matthew, "I indeed baptize you with water," John says, "unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoe latches," but here's what He's going to do. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus did. We read it last week. He went away. He said, "It's important that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And I'm going to send this comforter, this paraclete, this one who will help you and go alongside you and work with you and help you in every part of your life." The secret to the Christian life, listen, is to be saturated, overfilled, baptized, overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. You know why? Because, listen, because the Spirit is the one who directs our life. How do you know? How do you know? Listen, how do you know the decision I need to make? How do I know? How do I know what job I need to take? I'll mess up over here and I'll take this one. It might not turn out. How do I know who I should date? Well, she's pretty. My mom used to say, "Pretty is pretty does." Well, he's handsome. Listen, the Holy Spirit comes alongside. If you're a Christian and you're filled and you've been turned your life over, you've yielded to the Holy Spirit, he will go alongside you. Hey, date this one over here. Don't date this one over here. Amen. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Look at that. Don't say that. Be in church. Read your Bible. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and He directs our lives. What house should I buy? What should I do? What kind of job? What college should I go to? Where should I go to church? Where should I go to church? The Holy Spirit is the one who directs and guides and leads. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us, John 16:13. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. So the Holy Spirit directs us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Isn't that amazing? This is one of the most incredible verses in all the Bible on prayer. I believe it's in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us, it makes intercession. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. He prays for us. He bombards heaven. The Bible says he makes groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God. He understands our flesh and who we are. And so the Holy Spirit comes alongside and says, God, you got to help them. God, you got to heal them. God, they're good. Keep them from evil. God, look at their children. They're trying to raise them. They're trying to work this marriage out. And he goes to God and he begs God and he intercedes for us. We need the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God directs us. The Spirit of God prays. The Spirit of God empowers us. What do you mean by that, Pastor? He gives us the ability. He gives us the strength. He gives us the aptitude. He gives us the gifts. He gives us the power to serve him, to live our life for God. He gives us the ability to do that. In John chapter 14, verse number 12, he says this. Listen to what Jesus said. When Jesus went away, he said, listen, after I leave, you ought to be doing greater things than I did. How in the world are you going to do that? What do you mean? Jesus, look at what you've done. And Jesus says it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that God helps us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. I don't think I put it up there, but I'm just going to go ahead and wing it. Someone look it up. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I feel like winging it, but my winger's broke. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Am I quoting that right? Who's got it? Yes, ma'am. Well, how's it? Read it for me. Listen to this. Look at that. Ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit. Listen. We are physical creatures, but we are also spiritual creatures. We are human beings, but we are human beings with divinity inside of us. With God, the Holy Spirit, something as big as God living inside of me. There ought to be some evidence. Something ought to be working in my life. When God, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside, we'll do greater works than these. Austin, come quickly. I've got a way to illustrate this, please, today. And that's not quick enough. You're going to have to run. Come on, buddy. All right. Set my stuff up over there. This will help. I'll tell you what. Bring it over here. The young people need to get a good gander on this. Can you do that? Go ahead. Go get that. This is just a little illustration of kind of what I'm talking about today. Listen, look at the pastor. My number one point today is what? Huh? The secret to the Christian life is to be what? Saturated. With who? And be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled, overflowing, baptized, anointed, have the power of God. Okay, so that's the testimony today. Here's what I want to do today. What are we using? We use this one. This right here represents when you're born, you're empty, there's nothing there. But let me tell you something. Let me explain how life goes. Brother Austin, here, you hold this too. Can you do it? Slow, do it slow. Because we get a lot of fizz. I don't want the fizz. This is what happens in life. Look at me. You're born, and as life goes on, things start to happen. Sin creeps in. You know, that's the nature of man. We're not perfect. Look, we're born sinners. And because lust comes in and we're doing things we shouldn't do and saying things and da-da-da. And then we become teenagers and all the hormones kick in. Come on, help me. And we don't see things right and we're making bad decisions over here and da-da-da-da-da. And then we get older. We got all the peer pressure and drinking comes in and drugs come in and premarital sex over here. And all this stuff gets put pressure and we begin to live our life. Go ahead. Faster. I want more. Put more. Come on, this, and we feel our life fills up and it's dark and dingy and our life becomes a mess sometimes. That's good enough. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? No, listen, no, none doeth good. No, not one. Each person sitting to me knows what I'm talking about. You get married and the stress of marriage and stress comes on and you think it's thoughts of suicide over here and this problem comes on financially and before long our life looks like this without the fizz. Our life gets sinful and dark and corroded and evil. Somebody help me preach. And here's the problem. Listen, you cannot solve this on your own. Religion won't help you. Listen, coming to church won't solve that. It's not, it's good counseling and therapy. I'm not against that. Trust me, education, it's all good, but that can't solve the problem that's going on in your world and your life. And here's the issue today. Go ahead, give me that. I hope you got enough this time. Do you have more over there? And this is the issue. We are to be saturated with the Holy Spirit of God. We are to be filled with God. Fill our homes and fill our minds. And you're not going to have enough water, are you? No, I did. Quit talking back to me. We are to fill our homes and our marriage and our world and our mind and our spirit with the... You don't have enough water. Oh, okay. All right, get it. Come on. How many understand what I'm talking about today? You can't do it on your own. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you see over there on this side? It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that the Spirit comes in. This water represents the Spirit of God. And He comes into your life and the junk begins to go out. And the evil begins to go out. And the suicidal thoughts begin to go out. And you don't cut yourself anymore. And you don't want to abuse anymore. And all this junk comes out of your life. And before you know it, you begin to be cleansed. We're going to have to get more water. You're not leaving here till that's clean. That's not clean enough, is it? No, that's not clean. Are we out? Okay, all right. It was supposed to work like this. It's supposed to work when he keeps pouring it in, it becomes crystal clear again. Go get some more water. Go get some more water. Number one, listen, if you want your life, it's a huge illustration. Young people, that's the reason I do this silly stuff, I don't want you to forget. Our life's filled with junk. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that gives you victory. You can't do it on your own. Number one, yeah, the secret of saturation. Number two, listen, here, we're going somewhere. We're taking a trip. Number two, the Spirit descends like a dove. You see, here's the issue today. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the filling. We need the anointing, the baptism. We want to be filled. But the thing is, the Spirit comes like a dove. There's so many different analogies and symbols in the Bible. Many times in the Bible, fire represents the Holy Spirit. I love that. I want to preach on that. Wind represents the Holy Spirit coming in. Water, rain represents water. We did a thing, represents the power of the Holy Spirit. Oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. New wine in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. There's many things, but one of the major representations of the Holy Spirit is the dove. Is the dove. Okay, help me, Lord. That's right. I've brought someone with me today to visit. Okay, help me, Lord. That's right. I've brought someone with me today to visit with you, okay? Oh, come on, Charlie. You'll be okay. I can get him out of here. I'll bring this out. This is Charlie. Now listen, this is a very unique dove. This is a very unique dove. The reason the dove is so unique, because it's a parakeet. But... that's the best I could do. I'm sorry. Come on, clean it out. Put the Holy Spirit in there. Come on. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Come on. God's working. Amen. You get it? Okay. You little stinker. Oh, I wish you could see Charlie. This is Charlie. Ouch, ouch. Go bite me. All right, I'll put you back in there. It worked better at 9 o'clock, let me tell you, okay? This is Charlie. I named her Charlie because I don't know if it's a him or a her. He's identifying as a him today. But Charlie, come up here. Sit up here. Come up here. That's... Come on. You can come up higher. Come on. No, up here. We want to see you. Okay, forget it. Listen, here's the thing. Let me tell you, the dove is different than any other bird. Here's why. Listen, a dove is not aggressive. This is a pigeon. I mean, a parakeet. Remember that. A dove does not fight back. A dove does not force itself on someone. It is not pushy. It doesn't demand attention. Here's what I know about a dove. A dove, number one, is gentle. He's peaceable. How many remember the story of Noah and the ark? And after over 100-something days, they land on Mount Ararat, and they sent out, and Noah sent out a dove, and it came back with something in its mouth. What was it? An olive branch. An olive branch representing, I want to make peace, and God wanting to make peace with mankind. And so that's what a dove represents. It represents the peace and the gentleness and the peaceable spirit. The Holy Spirit, listen, is a gentleman. We need the Holy Spirit to change our life. Are you with me today? The filling. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit will not force himself on you. The Holy Spirit will not push his agenda, his program. He's gentle. A dove is sensitive. What do you mean by that? A dove has feelings. Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? It said it, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, Pastor? To grieve. It's talking about to sadden, to upset, to hurt, to be sorrowful, to displease. Anybody ever do anything that's displeasing to God? And then all of a sudden you just have this terrible feeling. Why did I do that? Anybody like that? That's because the Holy Spirit's been grieved. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. You can put out the fire. You can quench it. To quench the Spirit means to choke, to squelch, to smother, to snuff out, to stifle the working of a God. And we know that we need the power of God, and we need the direction of God in our life, and we need the prayers from heaven, and we need that. But then when we quench the Spirit and we grieve the Spirit, we snuff out the power of God in our life that it takes to live in the culture we live in today. The dove is gentle. The dove is sensitive. And here's amazing. The dove will leave. What do you mean by that, Pastor? The dove will leave. It's an amazing story of I was reading this week, a missionary that went from England to Israel. And they got there and were setting up house. And the missionary's wife was just very homesick. One day she opened a window, and along through the day, this dove came down and landed on her windowsill. And it was something about it that gave her comfort. It was like saying that the dove descended and that God was there. And it was something that was just very sweet for her. But she noticed something. She noticed something about that dove, that when there would be arguments in the house, the dove would leave. When they would slam the door and there was loud and it was a fight going on, things that wasn't right in the house, the dove would leave. She told her husband one day, she says, I'm worried, I'm scared. If we don't change some things in our house, the dove might not ever come back. Listen, the dove will fly away. You say, Pastor, does that mean I can lose my salvation? No, the Bible says in John 14:6, listen, that when God sends the comfort of the Holy Spirit, he will abide how long? Forever. What I mean by the dove will fly away, or the dove can, here's what I mean by that, that you will lose the manifested presence of God. That you will lose the fellowship, that sweetness, that personal touch. You will lose the attention from the Holy Spirit. You will lose that voice, that one that's directing you. We can lose that. The presence and the emotion of the Holy Spirit being with us. When we get cold in our life and the Holy Spirit flies away, you know what I'm talking about. You come to church that way many times. We do. We live our life, listen, we live our life and go day by day without the Holy Spirit. Oh, He's there. God, you're saved. And God, the Holy Spirit is in you. But listen, but we don't have the filling. We're not baptized. We're not anointed. We have the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere in us as Christians, but we do not have that manifested presence. And so I want to look at this, and here's the whole sermon. A few minutes left here. Here it is. I don't want to do it negative. How do we hinder? I want to say, how can you host the Holy Spirit? Hey, you know, how do we get the Holy Spirit, and how do we long for the filling and want to walk in the Spirit and want to yield? How in the world do we do that? Would you look at me with me in Ephesians chapter 4? Would you do that real quick? I want to study this out in about 5 minutes and we'll be on our way today. Ephesians chapter 4. It's awful quiet in this Methodist church. Amen. Don't go to sleep on me. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to give you 5 words. And so you can write these down. I'll explain them as we go. Number one, write down the word mind. Mind. What do you mean by that, Pastor? It says in verse number 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their" what? Of their mind. He goes on to say in verse number 18, "having their understanding" what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. But, verse 20, ye have not so learned of Christ. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? How can I host the Holy Spirit, or how can I hinder the Holy Spirit? This is what I'm talking about today. When we have not invested, when we have not taken time to learn, when we do not know the ways of God, we hinder the Holy Spirit in our life. It's an amazing verse. Psalms chapter 95, verse number 10 says this, 40 years long was I grieved. The Holy Spirit was grieved in the Old Testament with this generation. And I said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You know what grieves the Lord? When we know everything about everything else, and we have little to no knowledge of this book and who He is. We live in a generation where Christianity is pretty shallow. We don't know the verse. We don't know the book. We don't even know the chapter. We haven't learned. We have set aside things. The Bible says this, that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And so many Christians today walk in darkness. So many Christians don't know what's right or wrong. They don't know what the Bible says about this or about that because they have not learned that. Listen, and it's not necessarily the fault of the church. Can I tell you what the mission of this church is to teach the Word of God so you can apply it to your life, so the Holy Spirit can fill you, so you can live out the Christian life. Listen, we have Sunday school. If you don't come, we have Sunday school for children. We have Bible study. We have small groups that get together. We have personal discipleship that we can do. We have an app. We have daily devotions. We have preaching time. We have so many resources that you can come and learn. But because there's so many other things that get our attention, we're so busy, because of that, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and He's not able to live out and work out in our life. That's what He's saying. You can host the Holy Spirit when you're excited about the things of the Holy Spirit. Let me hurry. Number two, write down the word morals. Really getting quiet. Look what the Bible says, verse 22. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Woo, that'll preach, won't it? "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man," it talks about. Verse number 27 is the verse I want to get to. "Neither give place to the devil." Do you know what hinders the Holy Spirit from filling your life and makes Him fly away? When we live our life in immorality. You cannot walk with God and walk in the flesh at the same time. I'm talking about adultery. I'm talking about sex outside of marriage. I'm talking about what you look at. I'm talking about all the things that involve today this immoral world. When that's where you're living and that's where your mind and heart is, listen, when that happens, the Holy Spirit, whew, it's gone. It's morals. If we want to host the Holy Spirit, if we want to have the Holy Spirit in our life, it says in Isaiah 63, verse 10, look at this. They rebelled, they vexed the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Therefore, the Holy Spirit turned to be their enemy and fought against them. In the New Testament, it's called discipline, and the Holy Spirit comes when we're living these lives and things happen. Like, why did that happen? And he's trying to get our attention, and he wants to know, listen, I love you. But the problem is sometimes when the morality of our life is so messed up, we don't hear the voice of God. It goes on to say, we're in Ephesians 4, 25, wherefore, put away lying. Put away what? Lying. Deceit. That comes from Satan. He's the father of deceit. That is huge. Listen, put away lying. Every man speak the truth. Woo. That's what he says. There was a man who was driving down the road, and he saw a sign out there, talking dog for sale. Ah, oh, that's cool. He pulled in there, rang the doorbell. The guy said, the dog's out back. You want to go see him? The guy goes out back, and he sees this beautiful, beautiful Labrador retriever and gold and beautiful dog. And he says to the dog, he says, what have you been doing all your life? And the dog says, well, I've spent a lot of my life on the Alps, rescuing people from snow avalanches and helping people in the Alps. He said, then I gave my life to the country, and I went to war in Afghanistan, and I fought with our country, and now I go around all the nursing homes, and I read books to them, and I encourage them, and I help them. And the man goes, wow. He goes back around. He says, man, that's an amazing dog. How much? And the guy said, $10. $10? What do you mean? That's an incredible dog. What do you mean, $10? Why would it only be $10? He said, because that dog's a liar. He's been in the backyard his whole life. Yeah. You see, here's what happens. Here's what happens. We feel that little white lies are okay. Here's how we do it. Yeah, I'm almost there. And you haven't even left yet. Hey, has he been at our house? Oh, here we go. I tried to get a hold of you the other day. What happened? Oh, my phone was dead. No, you saw who it was and put, psh. Come on. Here's a good one. I'm not feeling too good. I don't think I can come into work today. The check's in the mail. Oh, yeah. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, listen, if you want to quench the Spirit, if you want to grieve the Spirit, just let your life live in the flesh of this world. Not only your mind, but not only your morals. Oh, this is going to be good. Pastor is hitting all of them today. Money. I told my staff the other day, there's two areas you do not win dealing with in people's lives. Their children and their money. You'll lose every time. But I'm the pastor. God told me what to say, so take it up with him. Amen? Here's what it says, verse number 28. Let him that what? Stole, steal no more. But rather, young people, read it, let him labor. That's a dirty word, isn't it? Yeah, work. Working with his hand. Listen, what are you talking about, Pastor? Come up close. Closer. Listen, if you are an able-bodied man and you're too lazy to work, the Holy Spirit is 1,000 miles from you. Work is one of the most spiritual things you can ever do, young people. God put that in our life, and part of it brings us satisfaction. It provides for our family. Work is very huge. Listen, don't be afraid of work. Work is very spiritual. The Bible talked about all these things in the chapter 20 of Exodus. Thou shalt not do, honor the Lord thy God. That don't covet, don't cuss your parents. All these things. And in the middle of that, there's three verses that says, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The next three verses, God gave us 6 days to work. You ought to do the labor. For 3 verses, he talks about working in the Ten Commandments. Work is very spiritual. And the problem is today that many people get so twisted out of life because they haven't kept themselves busy. My dad used to have a saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. There's something about working, getting busy, taking care. Listen, our money, it's very important. People go, Pastor, I promise. Listen, if I win the lottery, I'll remember the church. Pastor, what do you say to people like that? Liar. Yeah. You haven't remembered the church anytime in a... Listen, if $1 million happens to be your lot, I'm saying that wrong. Let me read it. That'll help me out. Here it is, right here. All right. It's not what you do with $1 million if $1 million is your lot. It's what you do with the $1.25 that you already got. Do you pay your bills? Do you give to the Lord? Are you honest in your dealings with money? Boy, the Holy Spirit will fly away. It was several years ago, and I went to this really expensive, nice golf course. And I get on this golf course, and I'll never forget it. This golf course was so expensive, as I was golfing, I did not enjoy it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hey, by the way, golf is a very spiritual thing. It's from the Bible. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. Amen. I try hard. I'm on this golf course and I'm complaining about how much it cost. And the Lord hit me. Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, do you remember last Sunday? I said, what do you mean? We had a missionary that day, and God came and told me he wanted me to give a certain amount of money to the missionary. God ever spoken to you like that? He said, I wanted you to give $100 to the missionary. And I remember, God, listen, that's an awful lot of money. I mean, gas is up right now, and look how many people are there, and he'll be fine. I have another number in mind. A 20 is a plenty. The offering plate came by that day for the missionary. I took it out of my pocket, and I pulled out a $20 bill. I'm sitting on the golf course, complaining about how much money the golf was, and God went, psh. Listen, let me tell you something. You want to host the Holy Spirit? Do right with your money. Pay your bills. Be honest with church. Save. Don't spend it all. I'm just saying it's very important. Wow, this is not going over too good. Let me give you number 4, and we'll close. I'll just throw them at you. I won't push them. Number 4, our mouth. We hinder the Holy Spirit because if we would do this one thing, we could have revival at High Street Baptist Church. Look what it says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good stuff, to the use of edifying. Don't tear down your neighbor. Don't talk about your neighbor. Build them, help them, encourage them. Give them grace. Let all bitterness. Listen to this one. That's 29. Go back. That's verse 29. I want you to notice something. That's verse 29. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. How many got that verse? Got it? Now we're going from 29 to 31. Look at 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. 29, 31. What comes between there? 30. What's verse 30 say? It was our text verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do you tell me what grieves the Holy Spirit? When we allow this to run wild. When we not just cursing and swearing, belittling, downplaying, causing drama, gossiping, letting this mouth build people up, build yourself up and tear people down. Listen, there's more damage done with words than's ever been done with bullets. Oh, yeah. What hinders the Holy Spirit? Lastly, the word mood. Here's what I mean by that. Ephesians 4, verse 32. I'm done. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What hinders the Holy Spirit when we harbor bitterness in our heart? When we are unwilling to forgive those in our life in the past, those who have hurt us, wronged us, abused us, said things about us, betrayed us. When we have this animosity, when we fail to have a spirit of forgiveness, we drive the Holy Spirit away. We need the Holy Spirit more today than we have ever needed in our life. We have to have the spirit of forgiveness in our life. My wife and I have never had a fight. Been married 37 years, 38, I don't know how many, something. Now, we have had intense fellowship. That's what we call it. Intense fellowship. We were married just a few weeks and about 6 months, and we had our first intensive fellowship moment. What it was that day is we was going along and I said, hey, we were hungry. We want to eat somewhere. Where do you want to eat? Well, the first problem happened because I didn't want to eat where she wanted to eat. You know, anyway. So I said, okay. And so forget that. I pulled into Wendy's. I'll show her. So I pulled into Wendy's and I get prepared an order, and I order cheeseburger, French fries, chocolate milkshake. The breakfast of champions. So I order, and Biggie size it. You know, good night. I was young, I was thin, Biggie size it. And so I order that. I said, babe, what do you want, babe? And you know, and women are just, I don't know, they're different. She says, I want a grilled chicken salad. Yeah. And a Diet Coke. You ever order a chicken, Biggie size it, French fries, and then get a Diet Coke? Like, what good is that? And I said this to her. I said, babe, you know, because we were just early married. Babe, sweetheart, da da da, all of you know. Da, da, da. I said, babe, do you want any French fries? She said something she should have never said. She said, no, I'll just have some of yours. That ain't going to happen. I said, oh, no, babe, you don't understand. No. I'll buy you some French fries. She said, no, I don't need any. I don't want too many. I'll just have some of yours. I said, you're not eating my French fries. You ever notice that fights start over the stupidest stuff? I said, you're not eating my French fries. I said, listen, here's the problem. You have to understand, when they put French fries in there, they know exactly how many French fries to put in there. It's scientific. They got just the exact amount, so if you drop one on the floor, I mean, you're starving the rest of the day. Pick it up, dust it off, and eat it. Yeah. It's just, and I said, baby, you have to understand, I mean, I'm not sharing my French fries. I'll buy you some. You can eat two of them, throw away. I'm not sharing my French fries. We, incredible, incredible to have an argument over French fries. God worked in my life, and we went to counseling, and it's all good. It's all good. But I bring that up because I can look back in my life in the different times that we have had disagreements, arguments, fights. And every time, the Holy Spirit flew away. Listen to me, couples. I would try to do things in my own flesh. I would try to make things happen. It just wouldn't happen because God was nowhere inside. When I first became pastor, we had an intense fellowship. And I got so mad that day, I slammed the door and ran out of the house and got in the vehicle and came to my office here at the church. I mean, we were just going at it. And I get here to the church. I remember thinking, well, I'm here. This was Friday. I said, I got to get a sermon for Sunday. And I said, let me get in. Let me get a sermon for Sunday. And I'm looking through the Bible and wives submit to their husband. And I'm looking through the Bible. And, you know, it was like blank. It was like there was nothing. It was like God wasn't anywhere near me, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was there an hour, and I was there 3 hours, and it was like nothing was coming. Finally, I picked up the phone. I said, Kathy, this is Chuck. Manus. I said, babe, I need to tell you I'm sorry. She said, I'm sorry too. I said, it was my fault. You know it was my fault. We got done talking on that phone. I hung up that phone. And it was like the Holy Spirit flooded the room. All of a sudden, I was getting a sermon. All of a sudden, God was speaking to me. All of a sudden, tears came. And the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it's probably been years since you've had and been filled with the Spirit of God. We allow our mouth. We allow the unforgiveness. We allow situations that we're doing things wrong morally. We allow all this, and the Holy Spirit just is passive. He's been grieved. We've quenched his power, and we don't even know what's going on. The Holy Spirit's like a dove. A dove came, the Bible says, and he landed on Jesus. It's an interesting word. Look it up, 1 John 1:33. And it remained on him. I want the Spirit to remain. I want the Spirit to remain. I like every head bowed for a moment, every eye closed today. I believe God is working, Holy Spirit. Just like this simple illustration, would you let God pour into your life? Let God pour into your life.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review. The greatest trick Satan has ever pulled is convincing the world he does not exist. We have to live in light of the reality that he walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is alive and well today. Remember to work out your salvation today. May God bless you richly as you seek to walk with him.